back. Yeah, man, it's been a big day here so far. The convention for the Democrats wrapped up last night, and then today they had the what was he running as? What was RFK Jr. running as?
Just independent.
Just independent.
Yeah.
Well, the independent convention happened this afternoon.
Yes, it did.
And it happened right here on 97.1. We're glad to carry that for you. RFK Jr. speaking and taking a long time to do it, but he had something to say, and I was interested in every word of it. We cut from the RFK Jr. speech specifically because Donald Trump was taken to the podium, and it mentioned that he might end up speaking to the fact that RFK Jr. announced that he was not ending his campaign, but he was suspending his campaign, that he is going to remove his name from the ballot in swing states. He said that if he found his campaign to be in a position where he was going to simply be playing spoiler, he was done. That his intention was to be in the race to win, not to play spoiler. And it looked more and more that that was what was going to happen. He had a lot of reasons for that. Censorship, which was so ironic, as you have RFK Jr.
Incredible.
Talking about censorship and how the media would squash him and pull him, not cover things, A, truthfully, or B, potentially at all. CNN dipped away and started talking over it. MSNBC had done the same thing. CNN eventually went to a commercial. But we in the studio here, while we were airing RFK Jr. on 97.1 FM Talk for You, we were listening to that in the background. We turned one of our televisions in the studio and we checked out the other cable news networks. MSNBC was on a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to CNN, they had the RFK Jr. screen up for you to see that he was still talking, but they had the two reporters there talking over RFK Jr., specifically saying he is not endorsing Donald Trump. That's not what the filing in Pennsylvania, which is what they were referring to, the Pennsylvania filing, it was just a lawyer who did that. That wasn't RFK Jr. Come to find out on the air on 97.1 FM Talk while you're listening in to the news as it's actually happening, because we trust you to hear what is real and decide for yourself what you think about it. And that could be individually different for every single listener in our audience. Right after CNN is explaining away the Pennsylvania filing regarding RFK Jr.'s candidacy, his name being on the ballot, and the potential support that he was going to throw behind Donald Trump, CNN's over there saying, nope, that's not happening. That was just a lawyer thing. That wasn't RFK Jr. He's not supporting Donald Trump. RFK Jr. then says, I'm taking my name off the ballot in swing states, and I'm asking you to support Donald Trump. And he said specifically, we can't let Harris and the Democrats win. Plain and simple. And if you were listening to the news as it was happening, you'd have known that, which is exactly why, to RFK Jr.'s point, CNN doesn't allow you. They don't want to risk the possibility that you might think for yourself. And we got to see it. I mean, it was a masterpiece of this moment in time.
I hate that this feels so much like the book 1984, because we are living in a time where the criticism that it's being lobbied against the media is being censored itself by the media. This is just a moment where we saw it happen in real time. Not only the censorship, he was talking about censorship while they were cutting away from him. While they're censoring him. But then he's talking about their misinformation about him and about his words and about what he says, as CNN is falsely reporting that he's not going to endorse Trump. And then he endorses Trump and CNN missed it because they weren't carrying the speech.
And they didn't miss it. They avoided it. That's precisely. That's exactly what RFK Jr. is talking about. I mean, this is a pretty substantial shift, in my opinion, in the timeline of this campaign. We are marching every day closer and closer towards votes being cast, and we are 74 days away from the election. This is a moment where everybody, wherever you are in the room, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, everybody is stopping what they're doing right now and just looking at the Democrat Party. Like, oh, okay, now you go, Democrat Party. What do you have to say about this? Found it very interesting that RFK Jr. said repeatedly that he was giving detail about the repeated meetings that he's had with Donald Trump and the fact that he was sitting down to talk with him about things. And he said he was very surprised to find out we actually have a lot of the same things in our focus. We have a lot of issues that we intersect on, but there are quite a few that we definitely differ on. There are things that RFK Jr. really wants to see happen, really wants to see keyed in on, that Donald Trump sees it differently. And RFK Jr. said that he sees this as an opportunity, and he referenced Abraham Lincoln, which gave me the goosebumps when he did it, where we would take this opportunity to come together to use a word, make progress on the things where we agree and use our opportunity now to actually accomplish something where we can see eye to eye and continue to have those discussions on the things that we differ, but to not allow that to hinder any sense of cooperation that could exist between the two to actually make some reasonable progress on the issues where they do align. And he was very, very pointed at the corruption, at the monstrosity that is the Democrat Party. I don't like feeling good about stuff. I'm going to tell you, you guys probably know this about me, but if I'm feeling good about it, I just assume that I haven't found the bad thing about it yet. So what do? I search and I seek out so that I can see the bad thing. I don't want a blind spot. I don't like blind spots. I just an analytical person. I churn through the information. I'm looking for that weak spot that's I'm going to be prepared for when I do encounter it. God, I feel good about this right now. This feels on the heels of a Democrat convention where they gave us absolutely nothing of substance. They just peddled in fear. They just want to get under your emotional motivation, and they want that to be enough. Everything is different after this RFK Jr. move today.
Objectively, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, but especially if you just watched the DNC and you just loved it, I would challenge you. Go listen and pick any politician. I mean, literally any politician that spoke at the DNC, any of them, and find any of their speeches that had the substance of that one speech from RFK. If you can find a speech from the DNC that had not the same type of substance, but just substance, if you can listen to RFK talk and say, yeah, there's a Democrat who speaks with that kind of conviction and that kind of substance, then I'm glad to listen to him, because I didn't hear the whole DNC, but you point me in the right direction, I'm glad to hear it. When you hear RFK talking, you can tell that this is a guy that knows how things run. It's like,
that's why he's dangerous, though.
That's exactly why he's dangerous. It's exactly why he's good to listen to, because he talks in detail. It's the difference between you saying to your buddy, let's go fish, and him going, yeah, okay, or let's go drive a car around. And then you saying to Mario Andretti, tell me a little bit about how you drive a car. Both of them driving cars. But Mario Andretti is going to tell you exactly how to drive a car really well, with a lot of vernacular, with detail that you're not going to get from your friend who likes to drag race. That's the difference between listening to RFK and a random politician. He knows what he's talking about. He knows where the corruption is, and he knows how to root it out.
Let's listen to Clay Travis reacting to the RFK Jr. address, where he suspends his campaign. He did say he's going to leave his name on ballots in red states and blue states. So in Illinois and Missouri, you might still have the opportunity to vote for RFK Jr. I would not want you to not cast a vote for someone else. Don't 7D chess your way out of voting for who you want to see win this election. But he said where it doesn't matter, he's going, because it's red or it's blue, it just is what it is. His name's going to stay there. He's pulling his name off anything that is a swing state. And he's telling folks in those swing states, you got to support Trump. Clay Travis just reacted to that.
This is a massive win for Donald Trump. There were a lot of people who wanted him to consider RFK Jr. as his vice president. Instead, he gets J.D. Vance to go all through the Big Ten states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and the math just gets simpler for Trump, right? He's going to win, I believe, North Carolina and Georgia. This helps that, as you saw, based on the numbers that you shared, bumping up Trump's percentages there. If that happens, we just saw RFK Jr. withdraw his name from Pennsylvania as well. The simplest route for Trump to win is Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. If he wins those three states, he's going to be president. RFK endorsing him in all three means that's far more likely.
So Clay Travis reacting to this news at this moment, and I think it's spot on as well. A lot of people reacting to in our live chat about this on our YouTube page. So thank you to everybody who followed along and was listening to us as we were meandering through that. I just think that when we've talked about this election as it's been shaping up for so long, and gosh, how many people do we talk to? And every week, some of the same repeat guests that we have on, we don't have a ton of them, but we do have some because we love them dearly. And other people who we bring in, it's not like you can't, I don't know how you could be somebody who's out there like, I just don't know who to vote for. I don't know if I should vote for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. I don't know how that person exists. Maybe they do, but I don't know how you could be between one or the other. I could see how you could not vote at the top of the ticket and you could vote down ballot. I could see how you were thinking RFK Jr. or Trump or RFK Jr. or Harris. I can understand that, but I don't know how you go, I don't know, Kamala Harris this, but Donald Trump that. I just don't see how that is possible. The choice that you have right now for the direction that you want this country to head in could be more different. And I see nothing coming from the left. I see nothing coming from Kamala Harris. I see nothing coming from the Democrat Party that suggests that they understand the moment, that they're aware of what is taking place with Americans like you and me right now, enough so that should you vote for Kamala Harris and send her into the Oval Office, that you would notice a difference. Joe Rogan, I didn't know Russell Crowe was this guy. But he was on with Joe Rogan, and he kind of hit the nail on the head.
I don't know who said it first, but it was used in the Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice musical Evita. Politics is the art of the possible.
Mm.
You know, so it's not right. It's right. Not really connected to anything. It's like, what can we get away with?
Right. What can we tell you that we're going to do and then never do it?
Right. It's the art of the possible.
Well, you're seeing that now in American politics more than ever because the person that's actually in office is saying what she's going to do if she gets into office.
Right.
Which is just like,
You're there.
This is madness. Like, this is, and people are like, yeah, she's going to do it. Like, she's been in there for 3 years. Like, what are you talking about? This is crazy. But people want to believe so badly. We want someone to be the person that rescues us from whatever situation we're currently in. Mm-hmm. And that's always been the case.
So, I mean, when you listen to Russell Crowe there talking about how politics is the art of the possible, you just have to make people believe in what could be, unburdened by what has been.
And what does Joe Rogan do now? He was an RFK guy. So I don't know if he comes out and says anything. But
he wasn't an RFK guy, though. That was not true, correct? He didn't endorse RFK Jr.
He didn't say endorse.
I thought he said, that's my guy.
That's a whole thing, though. That, like, the idea that he endorsed RFK Jr., wasn't that something that got put out there and kind of got legs before? He was talking about reasons he likes RFK Jr., but he didn't actually endorse anybody, which is, like, the minor footnote correction on a story that was really big, and nobody hears the correction.
No, I didn't hear the correction.
Well, I mean, that's the way it is. So you've got people like RFK, or excuse me, like Joe Rogan, who did vocally support RFK Jr., really liked what he had to say. I think those two have known each other for decades and had a relationship for decades. There's no way in heck that Joe Rogan needs to come out and be like, well, obviously, if you're an RFK Jr. person, you're a Trump person now. He should say that. I hope he does. But more and more, we're seeing the wagons are circling right now over what has to happen next. Here's the governor of Georgia.
Look, we got to win. You know, we got to win from the top of the ticket on down. I've been saying consistently for a long time, we cannot afford another 4 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I think, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz would be even worse. So we need to send Donald Trump back to the White House. We need to retake the Senate. We need to hold the House. We need to hold our legislative majorities that we have in the great state of Georgia. And it takes hard work. That's what we've been doing.
That's the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, who has been probably the most oppositional force in Donald Trump's mind on the Republican side of the aisle. And then Donald Trump came out and True Social posted, truthed this whole long thing about being very flattering towards Governor Kemp of Georgia. This is big. I mean, in the flow of obstacles that are being pushed up against Donald Trump, in 24 hours, Kamala Harris wraps up the Democrat convention and, in my opinion, does nothing to move the needle for people who actually are experiencing trouble at the grocery store, at the gas pump, in their checking accounts, in their credit card bills, in their ability to afford life in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's America. They know it's difficult. They just want you to say, here's what we're going to do about it. And they don't have a solution because they don't feel like they need a solution. They think that they can lie their way into the White House. I don't know why they would think that. They think they can lie their way into the White House and that will be enough. And I don't think that right now it's enough. And in the midst of all of this, Donald Trump's numbers throughout the course of the week, polls wise, climbed a little bit by a little bit. Governor Kemp comes on to Fox News and says very nice things to Donald Trump. Yes, that's one governor, one adversarial person. But in the midst of all of that, it's Georgia. That is huge. If Georgia is all collectively in on what Governor Kemp says, electing Donald Trump, that's huge. And then the next day, RFK Jr. comes out and says, I'm suspending my campaign. If you're in a swing state, my name is off the ballot. You have to vote for Trump. Harris is the problem. Democrats are the problem. The whole system, the way it is set up right now for the Democrat Party, is the problem. It's got to change. We have to elect Donald Trump. What Democrat convention?
No kidding.
There was something key that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, too, just of the way that this happened, that I thought was very, very interesting, that they had a mutual, the Trump campaign had somebody working for him who used to work for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or at least they were very, very well acquainted, and set up a talk between the two campaigns. I don't know if whether Trump would have led that or whether this guy kind of led that, but they had a conversation, and that was right after the assassination attempt, and they talked about things that were not top of the line issues. They talked about things that are real close to RFK's heart, but that are not making Fox News, CNN headlines. They talked about food security. They talked about big pharma, things like that, which are not issues that need to be swept under the rug. Those are big things. Then he thought, you know what? Robert F. Kennedy did. I should probably reach out to the Kamala Harris campaign as well and talk to them about these issues, which are not top of the line, but are very important. So he did. They said, no, we don't want to talk to you. We really don't want anything to do with you. And then leaked stories, apparently, what it looks like to the media, saying that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was asking them for a job. Probably totally false at this point is what that looks like. So all of that playing out, he said he had been really spurned by the Democrat Party. They're using lawfare to bankrupt him, to keep him off of every ballot they possibly can in the name of democracy. And so he is really upset with the Democrat Party of which he came. In that environment, he still reached out to them and said, look, though, if you want to talk, I just talked to these guys. Mm-hmm. These are issues that you know I care about. If you want to talk, you could be the next president of the United States. I'd love to talk to you about these because the issues is what matters. They wouldn't talk to him. To me, that is so indicative of everything that we've been talking about now for weeks of the way these things have been playing out.
Just in case anyone questions the news that came out of the RFK Jr. address today, CNN reporting he's not endorsing Trump, that it was just a lawyer thing in Pennsylvania. They were reporting that while RFK Jr. was still speaking. They took RFK Jr.'s voice off the air and they put their own voices on to play it down. TMZ is reporting RFK Jr. suspends campaign and endorses Trump.
And they're talking about it right now.
Yep.
So this is breaking through.
Man.
Despite their best efforts.
I'm going to have a great Friday afternoon.
I'm having one now.
I am too. I want to talk about the YouTube live chat poll a little bit because it's quite a doozy. I feel like we could have given this more time.
You know what? At least we got to talk about it in the 12 o'clock hour.
Yeah. And honestly, if I'm thinking, I was having this thought as we were listening to RFK Jr. speak, the YouTube live chat poll for today, and I'm looking at the results right now as they're live and still coming in, so you can still go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. And two of them are very close.
Okay.
Which full story do you want the most? The Trump shooting? Jeffrey Epstein? The 2020 election and its integrity? And COVID? And I was just thinking, when you're listening to RFK Jr., probably, save the Epstein story, the other three are very wrapped up in why RFK Jr. was running for office or adjacent to RFK Jr.'s run for office. Who was more outspoken about COVID mitigations than RFK Jr.? Very vocal about it. Honestly, probably the reason why he got as much traction as he did as a presidential candidate.
It's where he became a name.
Yes.
He was well known in Washington, D.C., but not in the rest of the country.
Well, everybody, I mean, he's RFK Jr.
Yeah.
But people understood him as his own person because of his comments on COVID. Election integrity, the way the system works, the way strings are pulled in the Democrat Party right now, specifically about pulling the guy who's the incumbent president of the United States and saying, you're done. And now we're choosing her, but doing it from behind the curtain. I mean, this is the Democrat Party. They don't trust you. They, like Democrats, they don't trust you to pick the right person. Imagine that. If Kamala Harris was the right person, have her be in a mini primary, mm-hmm. or have it be a contested, whatever it's called, convention, where you choose there on the floor in a system that is set up to do that. Let the people pick. But, oh, we can't do that. The Democrat Party doesn't trust you to do it. They just don't. And if you look, I mean, I find this to be incredibly interesting. Because you could make the case, and Donald Trump kind of tried to, but he went through the process as it was laid out to do it, that he's the incumbent guy. He's the nominee. He had to go through a primary process, and he participated in things when he wanted to and didn't participate in the debates. But the Republican Party, potentially you could call it feudal, went through this entire primary thing where Donald Trump was like, I'm the nominee. I'm going to be the nominee. You guys can do whatever you need to do. Fine. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to be the nominee. And he was right. He played that game and he was right. But they still went through the process mm-hmm. just to ensure that Republican voters could know that if Donald Trump becomes the nominee for that party, that it was the people's choice.
Yeah, because if Nikki Haley had really consolidated support, she could have pulled it off. If Ron DeSantis had consolidated enough support, they could have pulled off taking that nomination away. They had an actual process for it.
And if it seemed futile, it wasn't for the simple sake of being able to say the people voted.
Yes.
So do the same thing for Kamala Harris. If she's the one, let the people choose it. But they didn't want to do that. They couldn't do that. And you can ask, if you're a responsible journalist, a whole variety of questions as to why they can't trust the American people with picking the person who they want. What's the danger in that? Well, I have an enormous amount of questions that I would like to ask a lot of people who are in a position of power to answer. The Donald Trump shooting, five different Secret Service people put on leave today. We're going to find out more about that. Will we ever find out the whole shooting? I'm not sure. But I go back to the Jeffrey Epstein thing, and I feel like we know the littlest about that, but what we know about it is the most egregious. So for me today in the YouTube poll, which full story do you want the most? I want to know the full story, as awful and horrendous as it is, of what happened with the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, so that we can make sure that it is stopped immediately. Your response on this one?
I want to know everything about the 2020 election. Everything behind the scenes, whether it's all real or not. I want to know.
Most secure election in history?
Love to know that.
Or, as Trump has said before, that it's stolen.
As long as it's true, I'll take it either way.
I'm with you, Annie. I want to know the Epstein thing. I think that's the one out of all three that there's no real investigation into. It just kind of, they're quiet on it and hoping it goes away.
And the less they want to investigate it, the more I want to know why.
Yeah.
We asked you, 322 votes, 11% of you said COVID, 18% of you said the Trump shooting, 31% of you, Jeffrey Epstein, 39% the election.
Wow.
So that's very interesting final results there. Do not go away, because Mark Reardon's going to pick it up from here and keep you updated on all of the rapid news hitting on a Friday afternoon, of all things. Come join us at AnnieFryShow.com, but keep it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Reardon, next.